on a decent standard of living.
Well said. Now what's happening up in Ontario?
There's a lot of stuff going on in Ontario right now. We're doing a big fight against work there, which is when the government makes people do slave labor, basically, to get welfare checks, making $3.25 an hour, cooking food for the companies to profit off it. We've been working, we're 7,000 beds short in the hostel system, and it gets to about 20 below there at night. So we've been doing a lot of squatting actions, trying to get more shelters open. And those are our major campaigns right now. We're doing a big trek up to Ottawa, which is our capital, to try and get 2% of our budget donated to housing, or put towards building housing.
What does most of the Canadian budget go to?
I'm not even sure. They don't really tell you much of anything. I think it's not as bad here, like, as here with the military budet. None of the banks. The banks are making $4 billion in profit, each bank. None of the banks pay any taxes. We just got Toronto declared by Toronto City Council a national disaster area due to homelessness. Homelessness has been declared a national disaster.
Has there been any actual substantive impact because of that declaration?
Nothing. We did a big action to try and get housing open, to try and get them to start paying attention, to not make it just a token declaration. And 13 of us got dragged out of a squat by the SWAT team in Toronto and got massive charges laid against us. Nothing's been done so far.
So you are facing charges up in Toronto?
Yeah.
What, trespass?
No, when they arrested us, they charged us with trespass. We got their unlawful assembly, mischief over 5,000, and trespass. So.
And how many people have died in Toronto this winter, would you estimate, because of city negligence?
Last year we did, I can just go by last year. Last year we did a death watch where we did kept count of all the people who died as a direct result of homelessness, and we had an average of 5 people a week die. A man died, a man named Vernon Crowe died in September. He was the first death this winter, and when it was still above zero, he died of hypothermia on the street. So it's generally comes down to about 5-6 people a winter, but we're much shorter. A lot of shelters have shut down this year, so we're even shorter this year.
Because of a gentrification effort in the area? Or?
Yeah, big gentrification pushes, especially in the East End, which is the general more poor area of Toronto, and also in Parkdale, which is the other poor area right downtown. And so there's a lot of gentrification going on, and people are working to fight against that. There's a lot of cuts to social services. Welfare was cut 21% about a few years back, and it's getting ridiculous with it. The shelter workers are getting really power crazy. There's a lot of people who have lifetime bars at shelters for talking back to shelter workers, for swearing, and they've been banned from the shelters for life, so they're on the street. I don't really, I've been actually asking around trying to find out what's going on in Santa Cruz, but it's hard to get information.
Is it illegal is it Ottawa? We're talking about Ottawa, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm talking
Toronto.
About Toronto.
Toronto. Is it illegal in Toronto to sleep on the street?
No, it's not.
So there's a major breakthrough. They annulled their sleeping ban. Is there a freezing ban? Probably not.
They have, you can't sleep in any of the parks. They come kick people out of the parks after their shelter gets closed or they get barred. They go sleep in the parks. They get kicked out of there, get like $300 tickets. But I don't think it's illegal to sleep on the streets. There's so many homeless people there that the cops can't even really make a dent in it, but they do their best too. So.
We have a publication up there. We have the Street Spirit down here, among others.
Yeah, we have the Outreach, which is homeless people sell it for $1 and get to keep 50 cents of whatever they sell.
So. Anything else you want to say to our Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
No, just good luck on it.
Well, thank you, and remind us of your name.
Kelly Hodge from the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty.
Thank you, Kelly.
Sometimes when the moon is still, time is so much truth to give. Leave your back.
schemes that I deal in total fame.
Without a roof at the moment. Correct, yeah. How long have you been in this situation?
For about 3 months now.
And have you been a Santa Cruz resident?
Yes, I've been a Santa Cruz resident for about a year.
And how did you come to be homeless?
Well, I had to go to jail for driving a suspended ticket, and when I came out of jail, I didn't have my job, and I was evicted from my place of residence. So I moved into a storage unit. And that's where it is right now.
You're living on the cheap, so to speak.
Yes. That's a secret, though. Don't tell anyone.
I'm not going to say, well, this is a free radio broadcast, of course.
Yeah.
Now,
I spent some time in a tent, but it's a little cold, and so I sneak around in the storage unit now.
I see.
Get up really early. It works well, actually.
Well, pay no attention, all you storage people listening. This is all an illusion.
Yeah.
Do many people do this, do you think?
I haven't seen anyone. I don't know. You know, I don't know anyone else that has done that. I think it's a great idea, though. It's risky, though, because I think it's illegal, and I could be jailed just for that activity alone. That's breaking and entering, so that's a whole other story. But
they're paying for it, aren't they?
Correct, yeah. But during the freezing nights, it was actually a much more sheltered than anything else.
And, well, for example, tonight, what do you intend to do something similar, or you got some other plan?
No, tonight I'll be there.
We won't tell the police which storage company at this time. Has anyone you know been hassled for sleeping or gotten a ticket in the last couple weeks?
No, I don't know too many people who are homeless, besides myself.
Hang around this table and you'll meet lots.
All right. Cool.
Thank you very much, and this will be on Free Radio soon. We're going to be broadcasting at 6.
Cool. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's December 16th, 1998. We're at the Farmer's Market about 2:40 in the afternoon. And we're talking with a man who claims to be the not the oldest in age of those who slept outside in Santa Cruz, but one of the longest continuous campers, is that fair to say?
Yes, indeed. 15 and a half years at this time in history.
You dare to broadcast your name?
Well, Marvin is the name, but I've been living outside for 15 and a half years of the 18 years that I've been in Santa Cruz, and of my recollection and the attention I give to the persons around me note myself as being the longest term person living outside.
You've ever gotten a sleeping or a blanket ban or camping ticket?
I have gotten sleeping tickets, yes, but generally from circumstances where one happens to be in the way, as it were, on the footpath.
Right.
Instead, you know, not generally one avoids circumstances.
So you weren't to say a victim of a bush beating expedition.
No. You could say that, but police were, or the security, as it were on the general route.
And how many tickets in this? How many years?
15 and a half.
15 and a half years have you been ticketed? How many times?
About three times, I think.
Oh,
three
times. Certainly that's a good record. I mean, hey, that's not many tickets for 16 years.
No, that's pretty good. Well, generally avoid them, though.
How do you do that? Are you, should we say, a deep woods camper? Are you a camouflage camper?
A wood rat.
A wood rat.
Yeah. Okay. We can scent danger. Just like finding garbage, we're good at avoiding the footfall of the approaching danger.
I see. So the police predator, so to speak, is unable to seize you because you are too quick for him.
Too quick, that's it, and too weary and too knowledgeable. Generally, I would say self-appreciation, lauding ourselves with the merit of.
Have you any opinion about the current sleeping ban controversy, which you no doubt have heard about?
What was the word?
The sleeping ban controversy.
Do I have a problem?
You have an opinion on the current dispute.
Well, the general opinion is that the general opinion is that one does have a certain appreciation for the position of the police, more so the citizenry of Santa Cruz County, for their complaint that there are a great number of persons with little or no respect for the people, you know, for the people in the community.
Right.
And my, you know,
that
in
does not include the police department.
Well, it does, but just simply one could say, well, that they're fulfilling their obligations as police officers.
Uh-huh.
And of course, there is a certain amount of.
What about the law? Is the law a good law? The sleeping ban?
No. The law itself is in disregards to the actuality of the needs of sleep. But there is a certain amount of problems by persons who have not the consideration or the discipline to regard the
clean up their campsite.
To regard the land and the land in the city in the, you know, as sacred and something as responsibility to keep.
Well, what percentage would you say, Marv, that includes of the 50%, 2%?
I would say about 10%. 10%.
You say 90% are, should we say, being charged with bogus crimes?
Well, the passing through young people, mostly about 75% are strictly young, transient persons who have no intention whatsoever to create any problem and are just simply passing through and sleeping for the night or for a week or for a month and don't create any problems at all. If they're creating any problems, it would be a general disregard for the people around them in their stance and their demeanor, if, you know, a certain percentage. But as far as sleeping, no. And even the, you know, attitudes aside, they still have the right to be able to sleep. You know, setting up camps, you know.
So you said that only 90%, more than 90%, or at 90% of the folks who do camp outside aren't really properly targeted by the sleeping ban. Would you say that if you were to, of course you don't know, but, well, you have friends who've gotten sleeping tickets, no doubt. Do you think, were they fairly ticketed or unfairly ticketed?
Oh, generally, I would say the people who are, that I know, the majority of people who are ticketed are people who are ignorant or unaware of appropriate locations to camp at. These are people generally who have either a tent or sleep outside and don't bring anything with them, being that they're merely passing through. It's a temporary situation. And the persons most deserving of being ticketed or warranted, cited, what have you, are persons who are much more aware and capable of hiding their camp locations, and beings long-term will often accumulate a great deal of garbage.
Let me ask you this. If the people you know who've gotten tickets, is it their fault, or is it abusive use of the law, or 50-50?
I think it's just inexperience and a certain general insightfulness that just simply puts them in a position in a circumstance situation where they're easily noted, targeted.
So, Marv, any concluding comments on the problems of being outside, or the problems with the law, whether this law should be changed?
The law itself, I consider to be an unfair law. The ruling as such is inconsiderate of the actuality of homelessness, but a general awareness by the police themselves on the abusiveness of some persons is appreciable by anybody who is to consider it with any thought at all. And if the police and the citizenry were to note more fully the true problem, which is a total disregard for the people in the community, in essence, trash accumulation and drunkenness.
Tidier your campsites, perhaps, and more consideration for the folks is what's needed.
Yeah, generally, and this is by about 10% of the population, and this is over a long period of time.
Right.
And that these people are the ones that should be targeted specifically, and no others.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Unless, of course, one final thing. Unless, of course, the transient camper. Puts themselves in a situation, circumstance where they are obviously unaware of the people around, such as Pelton Field, being the Pelton Field as an example, is used quite regularly by persons who enjoy the quietude of the Pelton Field without having to look at the persons of the camper every morning, every day. Generally, but this is the...
Thank you.
Two more generations. talking to that man about campgrounds, QZ. Hi, QZ.
Hi, Robert.
You got a camping ticket?
I got a camping ticket the night after the city council meeting on Tuesday.
And what were the circumstances?
Where did it happen? Happened on Swift Street.
And who gave you the ticket?
Let's see, Officer Escalante or something like that.
And what time, more or less, what time was it?
About 11. I think it was about 11. I didn't look.
And what did he say to you?
He said, basically he said he gave out 5 tickets before he gave me one.
He did?
Yes, he did.
And did he say to you, did he give you a warning?
No, he didn't.
Did he say there had been a complaint?
Was that good?
Did he say that someone had complained about your being there?
He said somebody did complain, but all the lights in the neighborhood were, the neighborhood was dark. I don't think anybody was even aware.
He said there had been 5 tickets before yours?
Yes, he gave out 5 tickets before he gave me the one I got.
In the same neighborhood? Or?
In the same area, they patrol in the same area, so.
Did he say anything else to enlighten you on the situation?
He said he gets complaints every night.
I'll bet, considering his behavior.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. But they're not slowing down as far as giving out tickets.
Have you heard of other reports of people getting tickets?
No, I haven't. I think people are kind of they're afraid to talk about it, really.
But this was last Wednesday, we're talking December 10th. December 9th.
It was the day after the city council meeting.
Well, that's very interesting to hear, QZ.
Yeah.
You want to spell your name for us so we can check that ticket out, the last name?
QZ.
And it was under that name, or you spelled that a long name?
QZ.
Thanks, QZ. So again, we're talking to Abe. You want to give your last name?
Ray.
G-R-A-Y?
R-A-Y.
Abe Ray?
Yes.
And Abe, how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
Off and on, about 3 years.
And are you pretty much houseless outside?
Yes, I live in my vehicle. And when I was living in my camper, the cops ran me off and told me if I didn't leave town with it, that they'd have it towed, and impounded and towed. And I'd lose my vehicle, so.
When was this told you?
This was told last year, shortly after, about a month after Happy was killed.
And did they pretty much drive you out of the city?
Yeah, they drove me out at the time, and I just got a different vehicle when they didn't know and came back to town. And,
so you're now parked in town somewhere?
Yeah, I parked.
You don't have to say where, but.
Different spots each time.
And you haven't been hassled this year?
So far, I haven't.
Now, do you think this is because there's a more moderate regime in power, or because you're more careful, or because of coincidence, or?
I'm being more careful, and I'm not parking in the same place two nights in a row. And also, it's the vehicle that they don't know, so I don't let them see me in it that often, so they don't recognize me with the vehicle. But I think mainly they ran me out of town because my friend and I were making a stink about Happy getting killed.
Now let's talk about this. How long had you known Happy John dying?
Since about 3 days after I first came to Santa Cruz.
And when was that?
Approximately 3 years ago. And
what circumstances did you meet him?
I just met him here on the street. He was a happy-go-lucky guy and just kind of nice guy to talk to. He talked a year off, but he's just a real nice guy. Real friendly and religious, and I figured that I don't think I could find a nicer person in Santa Cruz or San Jose or any other town, you know. He just super friendly and just loved everybody.
So did you ever have did you spend a lot of time with him or just sort of know him casually?
Kind of casually. I ran into him two or three times a week, and I'd sit and talk with him, buy him a cup of coffee, see him over at the Elm Street Mission.
Where do you usually have coffee?
The Santa Cruz Coffee Roasting Company.
And did he ever complain about police harassment?
No, I never heard him complain.
Did you ever see him harassed by any police officer?
Several times.
And what do you remember about those incidents?
It's just they made him move on because he was upsetting tourists, which the establishments were getting upset because he was upsetting the tourists. And so they'd make him move on and get out of town for the rest of the day. And he'd get out of town for a couple hours and come back, and they'd end up running him out of town again. I think he was done away with because they're tired of the complaints they got about just his way of life. But he just a happy person, never hurt nobody, and just I couldn't see what happened to him.
Now you saw him. The police. You actually heard the police tell him to get out of town, or you know that because you talked to him later, or what was that about?
Well, I was standing 2 feet away from him three times when the cops told him to get out of town.
Remember the officers involved?
No, I don't.
Remember where it happened?
Right here one time, another time.
Standing, of course, in front of the New Leaf Market.
Another time down by the record company, by the theater. And third time was down by the Elm Street Mission. Around the corner.
These three occasions, was it the same police officers or different?
Same police officers on two occasions, and different one on the third occasion.
You know that the fatal evening that Happy John was killed, it was Officer Carey who shot Happy John dead, but it was Officer Martin Over who was with Officer Carey. Do you know if either of those officers were involved in any of those stops?
I really couldn't say. I have a bad time with names.
Officer Over is a kind of a pudgy, shorter officer with dark hair. I'm not saying it was. I'm just wondering if you remember.
I really can't recall.
Okay, that's fair enough. Now, the evening, Happy John was shot in the early evening. You said you actually had a meal with him at Elm Street before that happened?
Yes, we ate at Elm Street Mission, and then after Elm Street Mission, we got his toy gun away from him at the mission, and he kind of brought up the subject about coffee, and, hey, well, come on, I'll take you down, I'll buy you another cup of coffee. And so he'd forgotten about his toy gun.
Now, you would say he had a toy gun?
Yes, he had the fluorescent orange toy gun.
Had you seen this fluorescent orange toy gun with him at any time in the past?
Oh, yes, he had it earlier that day at the record shop. And waving it around, telling people not to buy these for their kids, they're the root of all evil, and
you think the police officers had ever seen him with that gun?
Oh, definitely.
Do you remember if they'd seen him that day with that gun?
They seen him with, on two occasions, when they told him to get out of town, he had the toy gun, and they told him to get out of town, and they knew he had the toy gun then.
Uh-huh.
And that night, apparently they thought he still had it, but when he was shot, it was a different toy gun that one that I never seen him with before.
Have you ever seen him with a second toy gun other than the orange toy gun?
The only one I've ever seen him have is that fluorescent orange toy gun. And he had it, I know, about six occasions where he had that toy gun. Mm-hmm. But
always that same one?
It's always the same fluorescent orange toy gun.
Uh-huh.
And
where did he keep this toy gun?
In his fanny pack. And He'd take it out and he'd start waving it up in the air above his head and you know, not pointing it towards nobody but the sky itself.
Uh-huh.
And holding it by the end of the hammer grip, he's holding it with two fingers at the end of the hammer grip, waving it up in the air like, you know, like a dollar bill or something. He goes, don't buy these for your kids, they're the root of all evil. And my friend, he's telling everybody around, he's showing the toy gun after Happy was killed, but he still had the toy gun, and that's when the police picked him up. He was by himself, took him out to the outskirts of town, telling if he knew what was good for him, that he would leave town and never come back. And my friend was scared for his life. He left, and he didn't come back.
Your friend's name was?
I can't remember his name.
John was his first name?
John something, but he's had real long blonde hair. And
did you witness the shooting of Happy John, or was it just...
No. Him and I took off. We're at Lighthouse Point after we bought coffee for Happy. We left him there at the coffee shop, and we went out to the lighthouse. And
on Tuesday night.
Then from there, he took off to his camp, and I went and parked my truck where I could sleep. And the next morning, went to the coffee shop and was told about Happy, and we thought that people were just BSing us because we just left him there the other night. And then read it in the paper, and we were devastated. But I left town after my friend got run out of town because I was afraid they were going to run me out next, the same way.
When did you leave town?
about a month after when the cops started harassing me about my pickup truck.
Did they mention Happy John in connection with that or no?
No, they didn't mention it, but I parked in the same place for 6 months and never bothered.
Where was it?
Over by the homeless garden project, the women's homeless garden project, in that parking lot next door. And that night, I had 6 patrol cars roll up on me, tell me to get out of town, that it was illegal to sleep in a vehicle.
When did this happen again?
That was not quite a month after Happy was killed.
Do you think it was connected with that, or do you think that just sort of cracking down?
I think it was connected with that, because right after that, they really got hard on the homeless for a while. After the day my friend got run out of town, and then about the next 3 days, homeless were getting their bedrolls taken away from them. They were getting their stuff cut up, tore up, tossed in dumpsters, and which I can't see why.
This was in the month of December in 1997?
Yeah, I believe it was in December. But I can't see what gives them the right to take away something that belongs to someone else and cut it up, take it away from them, and all this other crap that they were doing in the name of the law. I mean, hell, if I buy something, it belongs to me. What gives them the right to take it away from me?
Well, your credit account is not big enough, Abe. I tend to, you know what I think about that.
That's theft. Yeah. That's just straight outright theft.
Of course. Now, you wrote this story up for Starstruck, the street newspaper that had two issues here in Santa Cruz before I think it folded. It's issue one on the next to the last page. Did you bring this complaint to the Citizens Police Review Board before you left town? Did you know they were investigating?
I didn't know about the Citizens Review Board, but the family got together at the coffee shop, and a bunch of people that knew Happy got together. I'm not the coffee shop, that little shop behind the Elm Street Mission. And we all got together and talked about what happened. And I told them the information I had. I gave them my number. I told them how to get hold of me, or where to leave a message for me. And nobody ever contacted me. And I wrote everything down that I could remember. And I put it away. And
would you be willing to go to the Citizens Police Review Board now?
I don't want to get ran out of town like my friend did. Have my life threatened like he did. And
he filed a complaint, or
no? But he was complaining to people on the streets, he just mouthing off about it. And the police got wind of it and ran him out of town and told him, if he knew it was good for him, he wouldn't come back.
Would you be willing to talk to the Citizens Police Review Board in confidence?
Confidence, yes. But like I say, I am scared of the law around here after that happening and some of the other things.
Why is this on Free Radio Santa Cruz?
I don't mind at all. I just got dunked on.
It's a bird gun. Hang on. We're being bombarded here.
We're reporting here at the Santa Barbara Newscast.
And that was Abe giving his story about the slaying of Happy John Dine, who apparently was a friend of his whom he knew and who he had social relations with on the day of the shooting. Never investigated by the Citizens Police Review Board. And I would like to point out, at that meeting at the cafe that he mentioned near the Elm Street Mission, that was the Cafe Paradolisi, there was a member of the Citizens Police Review Board present, Alan Lang, the unfortunately increasingly senile member of the Citizens Police Review Board, who apparently never took it any further. And of course, the board itself abandoned the entire case as justified by the police, or for the police, without holding any kind of independent investigation or public hearings. Actually, there's those who want that case reopened. Yesterday, downtown in front of New Leaf, where I was doing some tabling around the sleeping ban restoration of rights for the homeless table with Bernard, who's down there now, for all of you who want to go down and help out. That's at Pacific and Lincoln. We ran into Brother Nicholas, who's really interested in reopening that entire situation. He's a street person who may actually get together a group of people to press the community, Citizens Police Review Board, perhaps the Independent Tribunal, if Roxanne ever gets an Independent Police Tribunal together. For those of you who've been listening to the rest of the show, there's a woman who's an activist named Roxanne who's interested in setting up an Independent Community Tribunal that looks into the police, looks into the Police Review Board, and so forth. It's actually community-based and contains activists. He's interested in reopening the Happy John Dine case. He also gave me some rather horrendous stories about First Night with respect to him, or some tales which I wasn't able to record on tape, but simply pass on to you listeners out there. The police apparently were harassing poor people under the bridges. He was harassed for smoking tobacco under the bridges, and they illegally searched him, found a marijuana pipe, took it and a small quantity of grass away. He later saw some grass being stolen by another, and it wasn't a Santa Cruz police officer, another deputy sheriff. These are petty and minor things, and also, of course, we're dealing with, we don't know the names of the sheriffs, we don't know the names of the victims, we only have these secondhand reports, so what's the point? Well, the point is that I think the man's story is credible. I listened to him give it to me yesterday. I pass it on to you. You can decide whether you think I'm credible, whether you think the story is credible, whether sheriff's deputies are stealing marijuana from poor people, and whether that's accepted by their partners and their co-officers in the Santa Cruz police force who happen to be with them, and whether this doesn't show a kind of a fundamental level of corruption and insensitivity. That's really not quite the word. Brutality is another sense, just kind of a rough fuck you attitude by the police, and kind of an arrogant, privileged perspective which we shouldn't be giving, a status we should not be providing to people with guns who are charged with enforcing law. And of course, it's a problem that happens probably in every police department, but when it happens in ours, we better damn well do something about it. If the police are busting people, as I hear they have been downtown, minors and young people, for small quantities of marijuana, like a gram, and then charging them with felony possession with intent to sell. I don't think that's actually minors. I think that's people over 18, but 18 to 25, young people, simply to get rid of them because they've decided that they're an undesirable element, to essentially punish them by sending them to jail, locking them up with hardened criminals, subjecting them to assault, depriving them of their freedom. It's called violence under color of law, then we need to do something about that. And I encourage you to give me a call here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. If such a thing has ever happened to you, we can perhaps learn about it, talk about it, if you feel that you want to talk about it. We also have some tips for campers at the new, well, the Veterans Hall on Christmas Day, when there was a traditional yearly feed. We ran into a guy operating out of the back of his van who was showing people how to make kind of makeshift stoves by using a large tin can with its bottom cut out and curled up, and then a smaller tin can inside that. And let's join this demonstration in progress.
You can make it out of canned milk size cans. Just cut the top and bottom out of three of them and crimp two of them and fit them together and make a tube. So what's called is you have a large gallon can with a kind of a hole in the bottom and a kind of a sort of segments of metal sticking up to provide a kind of a burner effect, and inside
a pot holder
kind of effect. And then you have this Sapporo can inside, which serves to trap the pine cone for burning. Yeah, in a word. Now you realize that in this city we have no use for this kind of criminal behavior. With the camping ban in effect, you are in fact encouraging hundreds of people to violate laws which were set up many years ago.
Except the world extends beyond Santa Cruz. Luckily,
that's a very narrow view, I must say. Now, don't you realize that this kind of behavior is simply causing trouble here?
Ah, geez, I hope so.
Because like I say, in Mexico, no one would think of telling you you couldn't camp out anywhere or build a stove somewhere and build a fire somewhere to keep warm. Come to the States and...
So you're actually teaching people how to do this?
Yeah, I hope people are learning while they're watching. It's very simple. You cut this, you knock this hole out. I like to cut this one out like raised to the sun, not to the line, because this is the only place where you really need a tight fit.
So, are you yourself an illegal sleeper, as we say?
No, I'm afraid not, not yet. Luckily, I still have a place to sleep. Inside.
Well, I'm going to leave this scene of degradation and this haven of criminal behavior. And I hope, any final words you want to add before I pass on?
Live on. Live and let live. And help people when you can.
Vicious sentiments of a vicious criminal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
First of all, I would like to say a word or two. I know you won't be thinking this applies to you, but it's true, and it do. All your life, you have had to sing your song alone, not believing anybody could have known. But it's wrong, and you know.
I found a song, let me sing it with you. Let me say it now while the meaning is new. But wouldn't it be good if we could say it together? Don't be afraid to say it with your mind. Sing about the joy that I know we can find. Wind them around and see what they sound like together. Song is love. Song is love. Song is love. Song is love.
Last of all, I would like to thank you for the word or two spoken in the moments when I needed you to see me through and go through.
I found a song, let me sing it with you. Let me say it now while the meaning is new. But wouldn't it be good if we could say it together? Don't be afraid to sing to your mind. Sing about the joy that I know we can find. Wind them around and see what they sound like together. Song is love. 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 Song is love.
We're talking to Dan, and Dan, you actually have a report on something we heard about earlier. It's about 5 o'clock now. We're in the New Leaf parking lot, but yesterday, apparently police were stopping folks down near River and Highway 1.
Right.
What was that about?
They were, the intersection you can't even cross without the, you know, when the thing turns white, you can't even get halfway across before it turns red. And I took off when it turned white as soon as it did, and they had two motorcycle cops, one on each side of the highway, radioing to two cops that were two blocks away to pick you up.
For jaywalking?
I was riding my bicycle, and I took off as soon as the light turned white. And today, as an example, I talked to a lady. I said, watch, see if you can make it across the intersection before it turns red. Mm-hmm. It turned red before we got halfway through to the center of the intersection.
You're talking about the walk, don't walk signs?
Right, yeah. That's what
you mean by turning white.
Right. And they, what they had is one CHP or Buffalo or Santa Cruz police on a motorcycle on each side of the highway spotting, and then they had them waiting two blocks away to sit on the ground and pass out tickets.
How many people did you see getting tickets?
In a half an hour, close to 50 people.
And what kinds of tickets are we talking here?
Just failure to make it through the intersection while the light was still in the way.
And about what time of day was this?
2 o'clock, no, it was 11:30 to 12:30 area.
In the morning and yeah, in the early afternoon.
I'm going to show you my ticket.
Okay, we're looking at a ticket here.
And a lot of these people got them.
It was a familiar yellow ticket from the Santa Cruz Police Department. Daniel Britt. Failure to stop at red light.
When in fact I took off as soon as it turned white. And what happens, you cannot make it even pedaling as fast as you can on a bicycle before it turns red again.
It's a fast light.
Yes, it changes within three to five seconds, when it should take about a good 15 to 20 seconds.
And we're talking about the light that crosses the actual
Coral Street, where the Coral parking lot is, over to where they have that hot tub type spot.
Across the freeway, in other words. Yeah. What would have been the freeway if you go further on down?
Right. And I started at the Coral Street intersection trying to make it to the other side, to where they have Stapleton's and that on that side of the street.
Sounds like Santa Cruz business as usual again.
Right.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry that this happened to you. And
can we time the light somehow to prove that there's no way of making it across?
I imagine somebody could. It ain't going to be me, but...
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see a lot more of these from yesterday. They had 10 police officers down there passing these tickets off.
Impressive. And